Pastor Brian. Great to get acquainted with you and to have you share what was really, I think, important in regards to what's Woodhaven about. Isn't it nice to know you're above average? Yeah, that's good. But I would agree with Pastor Brian. Don't get too much in, at my age. I can't even reach back there anymore. But you know that patting yourself on the back. Thank you for the joy and privilege of sharing in this important time in your journey. 50 years, that's a significant amount of time in the human lifespan, right? You know, you make 50 years, that's a big deal. I've passed that now, and I'm starting to look back going, yikes. You know, I'm getting old, and the Lord's been good. And He was especially good to me in the ministry journey. That I could come and serve a church like Woodhaven. That was back in 07 and 08 for about 15 months. And thanks, Jim, for sharing some things that were really helpful for me to hear in regards to what was happening in the life of this church at that time. Some of you are around, some of you are new since then. But God was pleased, I think, to be at work in some fresh ways during that time, and I just got to be the leader in the midst of it, and I thank God for that. But to show you how that, you know, certain things can stick. Have you noticed that? You know, as you go along in life, there's some things you just flat out, they go away, and that's okay. But some things stick, and I want to show you something. Someone came up to me this morning. Well, I think it's okay to tell you who it was. Her name's Jamie. You know Jamie, no? Right? And gave me this. And I knew immediately why she gave me this. Does anybody here know why she would give me this? What's in there? Yeah, why did she give these to me? We had M&M meetings. And what did we do at the M&M meetings? We brainstormed. M&M meetings stood for Ministry Dialogue Meetings. It's actually MDM, but M&Ms. And what I did is, I brought M&Ms to the meeting, but most importantly, what I'd hoped you would do, what I was praying for, is we'd actually open our hearts up about what needs to happen in this ministry. What do we need to get more serious about? What do we need to focus on? And we did that in small groups so we wouldn't feel so intimidated. My experience as a leader in the church is if we have a meeting with a group this big, most people aren't going to say a word because it's kind of scary. And I learned to do that while I was on the interim journey helping churches through transition. And I thought, you know what? I think this, does this open up, Jamie? It does. Here it is. It opens up. What I want you to do this morning is I'm gonna have you pass this around to each other. And I want you to take at least one M&M. If you're brave, take two. And while you eat it, what I want you to think is, what should I be talking to about someone else about ministry? Will you do that? Oops, did you hear what I said? Don't eat the M&M like, oh, that was nice of Art to share his treats. When you take the M&M, it's kind of like communion, really, right? Oh, it's chocolate. You know, but you take the M&M, you think about, is there something about this ministry that I need to talk to someone else about? Not just a complaint, but some idea or something that's stirring in my heart. Or something I should pray over, okay? Because God is pleased to create energy around that. So I'm going to start here since you got it right, okay? And you pass them around, and if we all get germs, it's okay. All right? God is good. So I wanted to share that. So thanks so much. And before I read Scripture, I want to pause because we need a miracle this morning. Because there's no way I can share what I need to share in under 2 hours. And the last I checked, most of you can't sit that long. Okay. So we're gonna pray that God will reveal what He has asked me to reveal in a reasonable amount of time. Okay? Let's pray. Lord, so happy that we can celebrate together. And it's only because You're such a good God. And because Your grace and love prevails. And because as Your people, we get to share that. And it was good to hear Jim share earlier and Pastor Brian share that this church has such a wonderful history of sharing Your love with each other and with the community and beyond. And I pray, Lord, as we listen to Your word this morning, that'll just inspire us all the more to be the servants and the disciples you're calling us to be. May our hearts be wide open to receive what you alone can give. We pray in our Savior's name, and God's people say, amen. I invite you to turn with me in the New Testament to the book of Acts, chapter 13. Most of you are, if not all of you, are fully aware that the book of Acts records really the whole beginning and development of the Christian church, which has been going on for 2,000 years. And it's a fascinating history. And you and I, as followers of Jesus Christ, are part of that history. Part of what we're doing today is celebrating 50 years of history. But we're connected to 2,000 years of church history. And we don't have time to go over 2,000 years of history, but we do have time to learn what I trust God wants us to learn today about what speaks to Woodhaven Reformed Church in the midst of that history and your future. Because history speaks to future every time. See, I can't deny what's transpired in the first 64 years of my life and say, well, I'm just going to start over. I can't do that because it's instructive to me. And God intended it that way. And so the past 50 years have been instructive to you as a church, and God intends it that way, but he also intends us to move on. Here we have in chapter 13 a record of the first missionary journey. And we're going to read a little bit about Paul and Barnabas in that journey. And so we're kind of picking up in the midst here, but I believe in that we're going to hear something God wants each one of us to hear for the sake of Woodhaven Reformed Church for at least the next 50 years. Okay? So let's listen with that posture. They have been sent off. And they're on their way to a place, and they arrive at Pisidian Antioch. And as they arrive there, they have a chance to share in the synagogue. And the Apostle Paul, earlier in the chapter, we're not going to read all this, is speaking about the history of God's people, God having brought them out of Egypt, and God having provided the voice of the prophets, and then Jesus enters as God's son and is risen from the dead. And so he's really given the gospel account to them, which is really the first time, I suspect, that the gospel account was given in that synagogue, that place of worship. And it drew great attention. And then we're going to pick up reading at verse 44, because a week transpires from the first part of that to where we'll start reading at verse 44. Let's listen to God's word, Acts 13, 44. On the next Sabbath, almost the whole city gathered to hear the word of the Lord. So it'd be like if all of Byron Center in this area showed up here this morning. All right? Well, that meant the previous Sunday was something. Right? Something really happened. And when the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy and talked abusively against what Paul was saying. And then Paul and Barnabas answered them boldly. We had to speak the word of God to you first. Since you reject it and do not consider yourselves worthy of eternal life, we now turn to the Gentiles, for this is what the Lord has commanded us. I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and honored the word of the Lord, and all who were appointed for eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord spread through the whole region. But the Jews incited the God-fearing women of high standing and leading men of the city, and they stirred up persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them from their region. So they, that is the disciples, Paul and Barnabas, and those with them, shook the dust from their feet in protest against them and went to Iconium. Now listen to this. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. May God bless this and help us to receive the full impact of the treasure of truth it has for every follower of Jesus. So here we are, 50 years into ministry, and I have two questions that I really want you to wrestle with this morning, personally and corporately. And there is an outline. I provided an outline on the back sheet. And there are blanks to fill in because I know some people love to fill in blanks, and that's a good thing. And I tend to miss blanks, so if I miss blanks, you go like this. Right? And then I'll get back to the outline because I don't want to not have you fill that in. But the two questions are at the top of your outline this morning. The first one is, how many people have experienced the joy of salvation because of the ministry of Woodhaven Reformed Church? How many have experienced? In other words, as we think back over 50 years of bringing the light of Jesus Christ to people through this ministry. Now, Pastor Brian came up and shared the number of people who have gone into full-time ministry. And we believe that's above average, which we should celebrate and thank God for. But how many people have had a life-transforming encounter with Jesus Christ because this church has faithfully been the light of Christ? I don't know the number. Do you know the number? Don't know the number. But I got to believe lot of people. And it's not just people here that are sitting in the sanctuary, and it's not just people in the city of Byron Center, but it's people all over the place. How many of you have gone on mission trips for the church? Okay. I hope when you did that, you were bringing the light. I trust you were. The light of Christ, the hope that only Christ can bring. How many of you have given to the cause of missions? Many of you, all of you perhaps. How many of you have shared a good word of the hope of Jesus Christ with someone else? It goes on and it goes on and it goes on. And there's all kinds of people who have passed on that did that. And so the multiplication of that is immense. And that's what we really celebrate. Last night was a wonderful time filled with good memories. And I enjoy thinking about the good memories of when I was here. The office staff was one of the funniest office staffs I ever dealt with, and I needed that at that time in my journey, and I want to thank them for their humor and all their patience with me and all those good memories. But what really matters in all that history is we got to be the light. We got to be the light of Christ for the last 5 decades here. That's what really matters, because why? It changes lives. And it offers the gift of eternal life, because God works that way in and through his people and in and through his church. So that's the first question I want you to deal with this morning. It's a question of celebration and thanksgiving. It's a question of how can I even begin to imagine? You know, I think of my journey. Jim was sharing a little bit of that, and I'm so humbled. You know, I met Pastor Dave Brower last night, and Dave and I are trying to remember, when did we connect? Oh, man, we don't want to admit how long ago it was. It was way back, I think, in the 80s, right? But along the way, there's been so many opportunities and so many different ways to share the light of Christ with people. We don't have enough time to talk about it, and I'm happy for that. And you and I need to be so filled with joy about that. But the next question is the one that's tougher. How many people will experience the joy of salvation through the future ministry of Woodhaven Reformed Church? I don't think you know that. I don't know that. But what I do know is we have a responsibility for that. How many people will see the light of Christ because this ministry is here? Because you're part of the ministry. Are people seeing the light of Christ? Now, I've got another thing I want to share. Now, the M&Ms I don't need back, although I'd like somebody to save me one. Okay. This I want back. This thing is really cool. Have you seen one of these? Yeah. I don't think it's, you can't put batteries in it. I don't think it's ever supposed to wear out. Watch this. right? Is that cool? We got this tiny little place at a lake, and the electric tends to go out. This thing is wonderful. Because when the electric goes out, you can't see anything in the dark. And old guys stumble around. I could get hurt, right? This thing is wonderful. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to pass this around. If you want to light it up, it's okay. It won't distract me. Please don't blind the person next to you, all right? And I want to pass it around, and as you feel it and hold it, I want you to think about, how am I being the light? As a follower of Jesus Christ, how am I being the light? And I also want you to think corporately. That's harder for us in America because we tend to think individually. How are we being the light of Christ? Those are the ministry conversations we need to have. Because that's really what we're called to do. And what I love about this thing is it has so much energy. Right? I love that about the headlights on my new car, too. Wow. You know, it's like light up the world, you know. I worked on cars back in the 60s. You could hardly see driving those things. You know, I mean, now they really got light. Well, is my light improving like that? Is my light getting stronger and better? And that's what I want to deal with just for a few minutes this morning. I started over here. Let's go over here. Let's go over here. Share the light and keep passing it around. Don't keep it forever. We're not going to be here all day, all right? You think about, hold it for just a few seconds. Think about how you are being the light. And then we're going to cover some things here out of these verses, because the very first point I want to bring out of the verses we've read on Acts 13 this morning is every one of us in the Church of Jesus Christ, every one of us who's committed to follow Jesus Christ, has this wonderful privilege but huge responsibility to exhibit or expose our energy, your spiritual energy. That's what light is. And I'm not a scientist. I can't get into all the physics of that, but I know light is energy. And I can tell you this. It's been absolutely amazing to me after being, my wife and I, bless her heart, she stayed with me 42 years. What a good lady. And we've been on this ministry journey together, and the whole way I've been in leadership in the church, now I retired. God is funny. I retired to South Bend, Indiana. There are no Reformed churches there. You know, and we're looking for a church. We're church shopping. This is crazy, right? But what I can tell you is this. When you're a total stranger and you're walking into a church, and this was such a different experience for me, you can tell this church has energy or it does not. And that's a big deal. And we were visiting church after church that had little or no energy. I told my wife, I can't do this. It was not my judgment. I didn't know them at all. I didn't know any of them. And I wasn't making any judgments on them. But then I'd go into a church that had energy. I went, oh, I want to stay here. Do you get that? You know, we don't like to be drained of. I mean, do you like relationships that drain you of energy? No, you don't. You want relationships that bring energy into your life, that bring life. And this is really what's going on with Paul and Barnabas. They're bringing life. Not because they have the power to, but because they're the servants of the Lord of life. The King of Kings, the one who gives life. The one who supplies the energy. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. And here I was on 40 years of leadership in the church, and I'm relearning the lesson personally, like, oh, wow. And humbly, I had to say to my wife and some of my colleagues, I said, man, I should have done that 40 years ago. Should have done that 40 years ago. Didn't realize how profound that was and is in my experience. We need to expose our energy. Why? Well, the Apostle Paul says to these upset folks, at least the ones who were jealous, the leaders, because the message had brought so much attention that the whole city showed up. He said, look, we have to do it because we've been made a light for the Gentiles so that they can, you can see what you didn't see before. You get to see the truth, where life and energy really comes from. It's a gift from God through His Son. It's that clear. I had a really impactful experience a few weeks ago. We're blessed to have a daughter and son-in-law there in South Bend. That's why we moved there. And our daughter is the area director for Young Life Ministry. And it's an amazing thing. And once a year, they have a banquet. This year, they had it at Notre Dame Stadium. By the way, South Bend is all about Notre Dame, if you haven't noticed. And it was at a banquet room at Notre Dame Stadium. It's the most beautiful banquet room I think I've ever been in. Unbelievable. And so I'm there, and they're gathering with people who will show some support for this ministry to reach middle school and high school and college-age young people, some amazing leaders out of Notre Dame and other colleges in the area. And they had a speaker I had never heard before at the banquet. His name was Bill Page. Bill's an African-American man. Got up and he started sharing his personal testimony and his journey in life. And it basically just ran over me like a semi-truck. Couldn't believe it. He talked about the kind of childhood he had growing up in the inner city of New York, and talked about all the perils of that journey for him. Poor, black, broken family. In fact, he made this comment after he talked about how one day, in the midst of all his brokenness, he was listening to a Christian broadcast on television, and the light of Christ came to him through that broadcast. And his whole life was changed. Just transformed. And one of the comments he made after that just penetrated my life in a way that I just can't get over. He said, at that point, I realized that I didn't even understand my mother had been in organized crime. I thought that was normal life. And I went, oh, my word. I can't imagine that. I can't imagine. I didn't grow up in that kind of deal. Now, I mean, my parents weren't perfect, but they weren't in organized crime. And my mom and dad had stayed together. And the story this man had just, and yet there was no question. If you would have been there with Ruth and I, there is no question that you would have said, this man is so much light of Christ, I'm blinded by it. It was amazing. It's a wonderful thing what God does with spiritual energy when we'll share the light of Christ. It's a wonderful thing. Don't discount it. Don't underestimate your opportunities. Somebody supported that ministry, and God used it to completely transform that man. I mean, a transformation that just is unthinkable. It's an amazing thing. You see, the spiritual energy level of a church's ministry is directly related to the spiritual energy of its members. That makes sense, right? This church is going to have as much spiritual energy as each one of you bring into it. It isn't manufactured in a back room somewhere. It isn't manufactured because somebody had a meeting, all right? It's because you are connected to Christ. That's where it will come from. Light's the energy. The power source is the key. You know, somewhere in that lantern, where did the lantern go? Ah, there it is. Somewhere in that lantern, there's a whole bunch of energy, right? You know, it's got to come from somewhere. And spiritual energy comes through a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the ultimate privilege in life and the greatest responsibility is bringing that light to others. Now, the next thing I want you to know is this. Expect some resistance. You know, when I read this, I go, oh boy, here we go. Now, one of the toughest things I had in my 40-year journey in ministry was dealing with the resistance. And when I was asked to serve the region of the Great Lakes, 200 churches in Michigan and Ohio, and deal with the churches that were struggling and declining, I was like, really? Well, let's have fun. You know, that's where, in my humanness, that's where my head went. And you can see, still does a little bit. Because there's all kinds of resistance to the light. And there's resistance to the change that the light will bring. So in my outline, I have every church and every Christian will face some resistance. Expect that. That's normal. Don't get all bent over by that. Paul and Barnabas were expelled. They kicked them out of the city. They had to leave Pisidian Antioch. I did have one class this meeting I was kicked out of. I will not tell you which one. You know, they didn't want to hear what I had to say. I want to believe I was the light, you know. And there were apologies later. So the next thing in my outline I put, so they gave up. No, 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 no. Those who are completely committed to the cause of Christ and bring his light to the world, don't give up ever. Just because there's some resistance. No, Paul and Barnabas continue on. The church, this church, will face resistance for bringing the light of Jesus Christ. That was going on when I was here 10 years ago. And I don't think we need to be ashamed of that. We need to be honest about it. But we need to keep bringing the light. Can you say amen? Don't worry, you won't turn Baptist. It's okay. And if you come out of a Baptist background, forgive me for that. You see, some people don't want different people to come into their church. Whoa! Whoa, 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 whoa. As I was dealing with a couple hundred churches in the region of the Great Lakes, the ones that were struggling the most were the ones that made that mistake. You see, Bill Page, a man who came out of exactly the opposite kind of situation I did, an African-American fellow in the inner city in New York, in a broken down mess of a family whose mom was in organized crime, belongs in the Church of Jesus Christ when he gives his heart to Jesus. Can you get this, folks? That man is so different than me. He and I are the opposite ends of the bookends. And I went to him that night with tears in my eyes and my heart trembling, saying, I am so glad you were so brave to say that with me in the audience, and you have no clue who I am. My whole journey has been coddled in the love of Jesus. My whole journey was in the context of Christ's church. How could I understand what that man went through? I had all the privileges of a white guy, let alone a Dutch guy in West Michigan. I'm serious. Think about this, people of God. You have to get a hold of this. And this man is standing in front of this crowd in Notre Dame Stadium, telling him this. And I'm going, holy cow. Only God can do that. And yet we serve the same Savior. How could I ever say he doesn't belong in my church? How could I ever even think that? I can't think that, can I? And that's been a problem in our churches. It's been a problem at some level for all of us, because that's the hard part. So I share with you this morning out of the depths of my heart, be the light and don't let that kind of thinking mess up, turn the light off for you or diminish your light. You remember that song we used to sing, hide it under a bushel? No, I'm going to let it shine. I really think that's at the heart of that song, right? Isn't it at the heart of that song? We cover up the light with the bushel with all of the stuff that we think, well, this is the way church ought to be, right? And this is the way, this, you know, that's it. We wouldn't want those kind of people in our church. So let's not do that, dear people of God. The Church of Jesus Christ is to be ever growing and bringing transformation. Now here, listen to this carefully. Expect change, but never forsake the truth or compromise it. Don't do that. Because what empowers the light is the truth. God's truth through his son, Jesus Christ. That's what powers the light. Never compromise that. But keep it exposed. And then the last part is this, and I promise you we'll get done in under 2 hours. Experience the results. Now, when I was kicked out of that classes meeting, I felt really crummy. I thought my brothers and sisters in Christ just said they don't even want me here. And that kind of rejection almost kills you. There were a lot of apologies after that. In fact, our interim general secretary got up and made the apology at that meeting. I'll never forget it. Called me back in the room. So I'm not speaking out of ignorance on this one. So when you sense resistance or even rejection in bringing the light of Christ, expect that those feelings will be difficult, but it's not the feelings that matter, it's the results. And what were the results for Paul and Barnabas when they were kicked out of Pisidian Antioch? What were the results? Let's read it again. You got to get this. This is amazing to me. The last of two verses of this chapter, 51 and 52. So they shook the dust off their feet. In other words, they said, okay, we got to let that go. We got to let that go. We're going to kick the dust off our feet, and we're going to go on to Iconium. And the disciples, and that includes Paul and Barnabas, were what? They were disgusted and didn't want to do this anymore. Doesn't say that, does it? What does it say? They were filled with... Oh, you said that so... They were filled with joy and with... Isn't that something? That's just the opposite of what you'd expect in this world. That's just the opposite of what you'd expect emotionally in your life. When you get kicked out of something that you've been trying to help, your emotions generally are not, wow, I love that. You know, I didn't go out of that meeting and go, well, thanks a lot. You know, I traveled all the way out here. I'm doing my best, trying to help you learn something, and then you kick my out of here. I mean, emotionally, that's where I was. You know, let's just be honest about it. But spiritually, if you're bringing the light of Jesus Christ and there's resistance or even rejection, God will give you joy anyway. And he will give you the power of his spirit. So don't be discouraged on the journey. Don't be overwhelmed by negativity. I think one of the greatest challenges for our churches today, because we're facing more resistance, I think, than we did in the past, is we get all down on ourselves. And we get all down on others. And I'm here to bring you the message this morning. That is not the results that God will give to you if you bring the light of Christ. The result he will give you to you is joy and his spirit. A while after that meeting, I had person after person after person call me and say, I got to tell you how grateful I am for your faithfulness. I can't hardly talk about it. It's so emotional. So emotionally wonderful to have people tell you, you've made a difference in my life. And it wasn't me. It was the light of Christ. And I believe every follower of Jesus will have those results. I believe you'll have those results, even if it doesn't feel like it right now. Are you listening to me? Are you hearing this? This may be with a son or daughter. Yeah. This may be with an extended family member. This may be with a neighbor. I got a neighbor right now. He'll remain unnamed. Who I believe God wants me to be the light to, and I totally confuse the man. If you met this guy, you'd go, oh, he shouldn't go up by a preacher. I mean, he's anything but like, you would not expect this guy to even talk to a preacher. And somehow God has allowed me to connect. I mean, the guy, he bugs the daylights out of me. If I'm working out in my yard or on my car, he'll stop. He's got to talk for like 20 minutes. I'm like, you're annoying me. And the whole time God is saying, be the light, be the light. Yeah. He needs help. I know he needs help. Look at him. He's just, you know, his language is terrible. And he, you know, do you have that happen in your life? But there's joy in that, dear people of God, sisters and brothers in Christ. There's joy in that, and there's power in that. The Holy Spirit is at work in that. And it's true for us as individuals, and it's true for us as a church. So, what about the next 50 years, folks? You want some joy? You want some power? Bring the light. Talk about that. Don't talk about all the nitpicky details. Don't get down all those crazy trails that lead to all kinds of goofy conversations that really don't help, and I'm guilty of that too. Talk about how we bring in the light. How we doing that in our family? How are we doing that in our neighborhood? How are we doing that as a church in Byron Center and beyond? If you think everybody in church is a follower of Jesus, or everybody in Byron Center is a follower of Jesus in church, you're way off. You know how many people, even in, I mean, Hudsonville is like the home of churches, right? And you're just south of them. Do you know how many people actually regularly attend a church in Hudsonville, Michigan every Sunday? Yeah, any idea? Maybe 30%. Yeah. This is a community you ride down the road and you go, did they only build churches here? I mean, really. It's amazing, right? There's a whole lot of people that are not worshiping God on a regular basis. There are a whole lot of people that are living in darkness. Do you agree with me? And that's not my condemnation. It's my challenge. Bring the light. Bring the light. Because as you bring the light, no matter what resistance you face as an individual or as a church, what is God going to do? What's going to be the results? Joy and the Holy Spirit. I don't know about you, but I want a lot of that. I want a lot of that. One thing I found out in retirement, you have too much time to watch the news. You want to get discouraged and depressed, spend half the day watching the news. Don't do that. All that did is convince me, yeah, there's a whole bunch of confusion in this country, and there's a whole bunch of darkness and... And it's not my condemnation of the media. It's just hard, right? So what do I really want in my life? What do you really want in your life? How about some joy? And how about some positive energy? Doesn't matter what age you are. I don't care if you're 10 years old, 20 years old. My dad's going to be 98 in December. Isn't that something? I don't care what age you are. I don't care if you're male or female. I don't care if you're Dutch white like me or like Bill Page, African-American guy, or my kids, Korean. I don't care. What I care is, do you have the joy of Christ? And do you have the power, the energy of the Holy Spirit in you? If you do, guess what? You got a good 50 years ahead. Maybe 500. May God bless you. Let's pray together. Wow. Lord, it's just great to dream about the future, especially when we get to be those who bring the light. I pray your blessing upon every person in here. I pray your blessing upon this church called Woodhaven Reformed Church. And I pray, O Lord God, that the light will shine ever brighter and ever more expansive. And there will be no lack of spiritual energy here because the Holy Spirit is at work and your people are holding on to your truth and they're not going to let that go. And they're going to bring the good news of Jesus no matter what the resistance. And in the midst of that, Lord, I pray the fullness of your joy and the wonder of your Spirit to be with them always. And God's people say, amen.